Your Bibles this morning to John chapter 11, and we'll be reading verses 33 through 36 of John chapter 11. I'll read the odd number of verses, verses 33 and 35, if you'll join with me on verses 34 and 36 this morning. If you found John chapter 11, you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. John chapter 11, beginning in verse number 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "We have you laid him." They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold, how he loved him." And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading this morning that we've had an opportunity to open up your word. Lord, I do pray that you bless what's about to be said. Lord, I pray that we'd put away any distractions this morning. I pray that the special would speak to our hearts before the message. I do pray that you bless our preacher, give him wisdom. I do pray that you pour that fresh oil anointing on him this morning. The Holy Spirit would meet with us today. We give you all the glory and praise in your name. Amen.
That good song today, and well sung. Now, I want to speak from this passage today, and basically, I'm preaching on the subject of verse number 35, the shortest verse in your Bible, Jesus wept. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, when Jesus wept. When Jesus wept. Are you hearing me okay this morning out there? Because I'm not hearing real good up here, but I don't want to overpower the platform as well. As long as you're hearing me, that's the big thing. Y'all hearing okay in the balcony up there, okay? When Jesus wept, let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us today. Father in heaven, would you please minister to us through your word today? I just want to be the conduit, the tool. I want to be the avenue through which you come and speak to us and speak to our hearts. The choir sang, when Jesus spoke to me, thank God that Jesus spoke to me. And I pray that you'll speak to us this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord, we're in need. People all across this room are in need this morning of your help. So will you please come? And in these moments, help our hearts. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. and amen. By now, you should be able to see heart in this passage. We're speaking on the subject of the heart throughout the month of March and on different thoughts about the heart. We have mentioned the heart as described by the Bible many times. We're not talking about the organ that pumps the blood through your circulatory system. We're talking about that inner core person that each of us is. The heart of Terry Angel, the heart of you, the heart of your spouse, the heart of your child, the heart of your parent. That person that we are on the inside. Nobody else can see. It's where we think. It's where we choose. As we talked about last Sunday, it's where we feel. It's our thoughts. It's our decisions. It's our emotions. It's the heart of man. And here we read the shortest verse in the Bible this morning. In verse 35, Jesus wept. And what you've got, folks, is you've got the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ on display right here. Jesus wept. This is at the occasion of Lazarus' death. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were residents of Bethany, a little village that was not too far from Jerusalem. And these were dear friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, very close friends to Jesus, probably among those who would be called disciples, which is a follower of Christ. Now, they weren't in that group of 12, that Matthew and Andrew and James and John and Peter, so forth. They weren't in that group of 12 disciples, but they were in a broader group of people who followed the Lord Jesus and would be referred to as His disciples, very close to Jesus Christ. Jesus was in their home. And obviously, there was a real close bond among Jesus Christ, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Now, here's what happened. Lazarus died. And Jesus was in another place, another town, not on the scene, where when Lazarus died. And so He had to come. Now, Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, loved Him much. And their hearts were broken because of the death of their brother. And you can see in verse 33 that Mary was visibly weeping. Look at it. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her. So here was Mary. She's visibly weeping. And here are many Jewish people, friends of Mary and Martha, who were present, and they were weeping as well. Now, time out. There probably were some Jewish people in this group that were not friends of Mary and Martha, but were a part of what the Jewish culture experienced in those days. In those days, Jewish culture was they hired mourners to come in and weep and mourn and show sorrow at funerals. They hired people to come in and rejoice and be happy at weddings. So there were some Jews in this number that were probably insincere. They were just there doing a job. But let me ask you a question. Did you ever lose a loved one and you had friends who wept with you? That's what happened to Mary and Martha here. So the Jews came and they wept with Mary and Martha. And Jesus saw Mary weeping, and Jesus saw the Jews that had gathered around her weeping. And I want you to notice what verse number 33 says. He saw Mary weeping, He saw the Jews also weeping, which came with her. And the Bible says He groaned in the Spirit, and He was troubled. Jesus groaned, and He was troubled. And then He says in verse number 34, He says, "Where have you laid Him? Where have you put Him to rest? Where have you buried Him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And then in verse number 35, as they are approaching the tomb where Lazarus is in, he's in this tomb. He's been there for 4 days. As they approach the tomb, and Mary's weeping, and the Jews are weeping, and it's a place of death. As they approach that tomb, Jesus wept. That says it plainly. He wept. And again, this is His heart on display. Yes, this is Jesus, the Son of God. There's no denying that, friend, that He is the Son of God and God the Son. And He never laid aside His deity while He was on earth. He brought His deity with Him, and while He was the Son of God, He was at the same time Son of Man. This is His humanity. This is the human part of Jesus Christ while He is on the earth. So He's also given to emotions, if you will. And here He is with His thoughts on Lazarus. Lazarus was Christ's friend. Mary was Christ's friend. Martha was Christ's friend. And here they go to the tomb where Lazarus is buried. And there's Martha. And here's Mary weeping. And as Jesus approached the tomb, he broke down. I don't think he broke down out of control. I don't think he broke down and embarrassed anybody. I think he wept. Possibly the tears trickled out of his eyes and down his cheeks. But there was visible evidence of Jesus Christ, now the Son of God, weeping over the death of his friend. There he stood. And the tears came down his cheeks. Visible evidence of the weeping of Jesus Christ. And look what they said in verse number 36. Those standing around who saw him weep said, "Behold how he loved him." Evidence of the love that Jesus had for Lazarus showed up in the tears that flowed down his cheeks. Jesus wept. This has been a week of tears and sorrow and weeping here in our church and in our school. It's been a week of weeping, especially in the Spanish church. When the one who passes away is as young as 8 years of age, friend, that creates an unusual amount of difficulty for a lot of people. A lot of people. Parents don't expect to bury their children. And others don't expect parents to bury their children. I don't expect Omar and Juana, Gaitan, to bury their daughter. I expect their daughter to grow up and bury them. Isn't that right? Parents are buried by their children. So there is usually quite a bit of sorrow and emotion involved when something out of the norm happens like this. And parents have to bury the bodies of their little children, which ultimately that sorrow, that grief, that emotion engages the heart. The heart is engaged. And we have people in this membership, the people of Faith Baptist Church, whose hearts are sorrowful and grieved with this family. With this family. Yeah. Because that's what a church family is all about. You know, I'm just going to step aside here, not in anger, but I'm sad for some of you folks. I feel sorry for some of you because there are several of you who miss out on the full experience God intends to you to have through a local church. You miss out on it. I'm not mad about it. I feel sorry for you. You know, to some of you, I am not your pastor. I'm the preacher you listen to on Sunday. That's what I am. And you know what? I'm okay. That's what you want. That's what I'll be. I'd like to be your pastor. I'd like to be your pastor. There are things that go on here at Faith Baptist Church that should engage the entire membership. And I'm telling you, there's benefit. Look, people had legitimate reasons why they couldn't come by here Friday night, why they couldn't come to the service on Saturday morning. I'm not mad, but I'm going to tell you something. You missed something that was precious yesterday. A precious, precious thing that I believe you could have benefited from. I really do. You know, you really ought to think about, folks, when you live a long ways from a church that you're going to pick, you really ought to think about the price you got to pay to be involved. Amen. You really need to think about that. Because there's more to a church than just sitting in a pew one or two times a week. It's a whole experience. And I feel sorry for you. I really do. Now, you don't feel sorry for yourself, but I feel sorry for you. I really do. So, our hearts have been sorrow. Our sorrow, our grief, the Gaitan's grief, the Gaitan's sorrow, it grips their person just like it did Jesus Christ here. It grips the inner us. It grips the inner them. And you know what it causes? It causes tears. It causes weeping. And here was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, approaching the tomb of His dear friend, Lazarus. And Jesus broke up and visibly wept tears. Now, here's a few thoughts I'd like to make this morning. I'll give you three thoughts about this, and then we'll be done. Number one, I want you to notice that Jesus was touched by their sorrow and grief. Jesus was touched by their sorrow and grief. Look at verse number 33 again in your Bible. "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews with also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Now look, this verse is clear that Jesus noticed Mary, and he noticed the Jews weeping. And this verse is clear that Jesus groaned. And Jesus was troubled. Now, folks, there has been debate over what it was that actually caused Jesus to weep. Was it that Mary and Martha and the Jews did not believe that he would raise Lazarus from the dead? Was he weeping because they doubted him? Was Jesus weeping because of the general trouble that sin causes? And by the way, let me say this. Ultimately, sin is the reason for all sorrow. Sin is the reason for all grief. Sin is the reason for death. That was not what God created. God didn't create that. Sin brought that into this world. And Jesus, you know, he came to the city of Jerusalem. He wept over the city of Jerusalem for several reasons. One was because of the sin that the city experienced. Why is Jesus weeping here at the grave of Lazarus? Is he weeping for all these other peripheral reasons? Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it was the fact that he truly loved these three people. And Lazarus was his friend. And Mary and Martha were Lazarus's sisters. And their hearts were broken. And their hearts were grieved. And his heart was genuinely touched by their sorrow and possibly his own. And I'm just simply saying this morning, don't discount the fact that Jesus is touched by human sorrow. He's touched by human sorrow. There are some in this room this morning who are sorrowing in their heart just not over somebody's death. I've already passed three people this morning between Sunday school and church with tears coming out of their eyes. And that was after this message was penned. Already. You say, well, the sorrow I'm having, Pastor, is not over. I sorrow about little Eileen's death. But, boy, there's a bigger issue. There's an issue that's more in front of me than even her death. And that's why the tears come down out of my eyes and down my cheeks this morning. And I want to tell you something, Christian. I want you to take note and be encouraged this morning that Jesus is touched by your grief. Let's put something here in John 11. Put something here. We're good time-wise. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Would you please do that? Find Hebrews chapter 4 in your Bible this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. And you know, I said, I'll take you a minute to find it, toward the end of the New Testament, I said this has been a week of sorrowing and tears and crying. And I would say, I go back to Monday where I was making a visit on a home and I saw a lady weep over the death of a loved one 11 years ago, and tears came out of her eyes. I saw her weep. Tuesday, when little Eileen died, there was weeping. Wednesday, when I spoke to the elementary school kids, there was weeping. Wednesday night, there was weeping. Thursday, dealing with people, there was weeping. Friday at the funeral, at the wake, yes. Saturday at the funeral, last night at 9:30. Situations come up. I'm dealing with till 11 o'clock, after 11 o'clock last night, with people weeping. It's been a week of weeping. And I want to tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ is touched by your broken heart. And we have proof, and that's not just some nice little statement to make you feel better. I want you to look at chapter 4 and verse number 15. Look at verse 14 here. You got Hebrews? I want you to see it. Circle it. Mark it in your Bible. And look at what it says in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. And so we won't wonder who that is. It says Jesus, the Son of God. Do you see that? Let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, circle it. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Do you see what that verse says? Verse 14 tells us that Jesus Christ, the high priest, is passed into the heavens. And verse 15 tells us that he is not out of touch. He's in touch. He's not recluse and removed from things that happen here on earth. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miles away, where he sits at the right hand of his Father, our high priest is in touch with your heartache. He's in touch with your sorrow. He's in touch with your grief. For whatever reason, your heart is broken this morning. And the tears spill out of your eyes. For whatever reason, you have a great high priest who is in touch with your feelings, friend, with the feelings of your infirmity. Sometimes we discount feelings. You understand, folks, that God created us emotional creatures. Made us that way. And He's in touch with our feelings, our emotions, our heart. Jesus Christ is touched by our feeling when death or other difficulty causes us to feel grief or feel sorrow or feel heartache to the point of tears. Jesus feels with us. And understand this morning, there was a time when He wept. When the tears came down His cheeks at a cemetery. Outside the tomb of His friend, Jesus felt Mary's sorrow. He felt Martha's sorrow. And Jesus genuinely loved these people. And He loved Lazarus. He loved him. And isn't that why we weep sometimes? We weep for the people who are weeping. Maybe we didn't even know the person who has passed or has a terminal sickness or is going through a tough time. But we know those who know them. And because we know those who know them, we weep with them. And some of you parents have wept this week because your kids have sorrowed and wept. Oh yeah, you wept because an 8-year-old girl passed away. Folks, I can't go into detail. I won't take the time to go into detail. But just remember this, that God is good and God is right. And after that doctor's visit and what those parents learned, God really spared that little girl. He really spared her. I just take my word for it. And you parents of those elementary school kids, you know, you love the young little girl. But you know what? If I can say it this way, and it's okay, even a little closer to home is your girl. Your girl weeping and crying tears, which makes you weep. And that's not unnatural. That's so normal. We find Jesus Christ doing it at the grave of His friend Lazarus. I'm telling you, He's touched by your infirmities this morning. Let's go back to book of John chapter 11. He's touched by your sorrow. That's not some kind of little pep me up speech. I'm trying to help you this morning. This is a tremendous verse, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. It proves the humanity of Christ, proves that He is touched person to person with our humanity. Jesus wept. Let me say number two this morning. Listen very carefully. Jesus wept even though He knew the final outcome. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm talking about this is, and I wish I had time to get everything. But you know what? For those of you that don't know the story, you know what's about to happen? Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He stands outside that tomb and says, "Roll the stone away." And they protested. They said, "Lord, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days." They didn't embalm people the way we do it today. "Stinks." He said, "Roll the stone away." "Lazarus, come forth." Out of that tomb came walking Lazarus. You say, "You don't really mean that." Oh, I mean that. As sure as you're looking at me. And I believe, like I've heard preached, that if all Jesus said was "come forth," everybody in that cemetery would have got up. But He was specific, Lazarus. Now, wait a minute. Why then is He weeping? He knows the outcome. But He wept anyway. Well, I tell him, time out. Why did you weep yesterday? Why did you weep Friday? You know what's going to happen You know where that little girl is. Say, yeah, she's buried in a cold, dark hole down at Mound Grove. No, she's not. She's walking streets of gold this morning with the Lord. She's better off than you and me. She's safer than you and me. One of these days, that little body's coming out of that grave. Because Jesus is going to come back for it. Well, if we know that, why do we sorrow? Because, folks, we're human. Just like Jesus. Excuse me. Somewhat like Jesus was human. We're human with sin. He was human without sin. Big difference. But He wept even though He knew the outcome. Now look, when death comes to someone we know is saved, we know they will rise out at the resurrection time. We know we will see them again. We know there is a reunion coming. Why then do we weep? Because it's sorrow. It's emotion that engages our hearts. The person is gone. They're gone. Even though we know we'll see Him again. And so we sorrow. Like Jesus did. Even though He knew the outcome. He wept. Because Mary's weeping. Because Martha's weeping. Because He loved Lazarus. He wept. But He did not weep with a hopeless sorrow, with a hopeful sorrow. He did not weep with a permanent sorrow. He wept with a temporary sorrow. He did not weep with unbounded sorrow. He wept with bounded sorrow. You say, bounded by what, Brother Angel? Bounded by truth. What truth? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, dead, buried, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Whoa, it's okay to sorrow. It's right to weep. It's right to grieve. You don't have to be embarrassed when the tears come down your cheeks. Even though you know the final outcome, we're human. What's not okay, friend, is for our sorrow and our grieving to go beyond the truth. Does that make sense to y'all? I told you some weeks ago, I'm working on a message right now. I'm formulating things. If something does happen, it's going to be like a 4-hour message. On John chapter 4, where Jesus told the woman at the well, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Truth puts a fence around our worship. And when our worship goes beyond the fence, it's not true worship. Truth puts a fence around our music. When our music goes outside the fence, it's not true worship. Truth puts a fence around our sorrow, Brother Brad. Truth builds this great big fence around our sorrow. Hey, you know what? You're a human. You've got emotions that are human. And grief that's real. And tears that come down your cheeks that you have to wipe with the Kleenex. And you know what? That's okay. You don't have to be this stoic person who never weeps. That's not normal. But our grief, our tears, our sorrow is fenced in by the truth. We're going to see Him again. So I'm going to wipe my tears as we did yesterday. I was more given to emotion yesterday than most funerals I do because it was a late-year-old girl. The tears rolled down my cheeks sitting up here. I couldn't help it. Little 8-year-old thing. But it was not a hopeless sorrow. It was not a wailing and carrying on that says, oh no, there's no hope. No, it was weeping, encased, boundary, fenced by the truth that little girl's saved. And I'm saved. And her parents are saved. And her sister is saved. And we're going to see her again one of these days. Glory to God. At some point, I know this doesn't apply to a lot of people, but I shoot a compound bow. Okay? So you guys that shoot a compound bow, you're familiar with the term the stop. A compound bow has a stop. It has a back wall. And that bow will only pull as far as what that back wall is. I could pull that bow and I hit the back wall and I can't go any further. It's a stop. And when my heart is broken and I grieve and weep, within the boundaries of the stop, within the boundaries of the wall, within the boundaries of the fence, I can weep, I can let the tears come down my cheeks, I can grieve, but I don't go over the edge. Does that make sense to y'all? And I see it all the time, folks. I see God's people weep within the boundaries of truth. And some, they let their grief carry them beyond the boundaries of truth and they quit church. And they get mad at God. Why are you doing that? Because my heart is broken. I'm sorrowful. But when you let your grief take you that far, you're beyond the fence. When your heart is broken, you need God's people. When your heart is broken, sit by God's people. Don't sit by yourself. Well, I'm afraid of what people will... People are going to be people, are going to talk, are going to... How are you going to stop that? You've got to come to the place in your life where you know what? I don't care. I don't care. And you get with people who love you and who... And you know, sometimes people don't know what to say. But just their presence. It helps you keep within the fence, within the boundaries that God sets for us to live within. That wall, that fence that keeps our thoughts right, that keeps our choices right, that keeps our emotions in some kind of boundary. Like thoughts of what, Brother Angel? Thoughts of there will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know. When we see the many loved ones we've known here below, gather on the blessed hilltops with hearts all aglow, that will be a glad reunion day. Now my heart is broken that my daughter is gone. My heart is broken that my dad is gone. My heart is broken that my brother is gone. My heart is broken that my spouse is gone. And I just don't know if I can keep serving God or not. Oh, wait a minute. That's going too far. Y'all with me? Jesus sorrowed to a point. Didn't go over the edge. Our thoughts, our emotions, our choices all have to be guarded by truth. Truth sets the parameters. Truth sets the boundaries. Truth puts the fences in place. I can sorrow. I should sorrow within the boundaries of truth. Even though I know the final outcome, I can sorrow and grieve. Just do it inside those parameters. Number three, I'm done. Because of Jesus, someday all sorrow and tears will be gone. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Boy, who is that? That's saved people. That's God's people. All tears will be wiped away forever. No more curse of sin. No more sorrow. No more grief. No, it's all gone. And listen, I say it's because of Jesus, because God's people become God's people through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Are you one of God's people this morning? Oh, yeah, Pastor. God's everybody's father. No, He's not. He is only your father. There are men in this church who are old enough. They're older than my dad. But they're not my father because I was not born to them. And God is not everybody's father. He's only your father if you've been born to Him. How are you born to God? Oh, I know, join a church. Won't do it. Live a good life and give money. Won't do it. How do you become a God's child? Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again to save you from your sin. I'm a sinner. I deserve the payment of sin. But God, in His mercy and grace, sent His Son Jesus to die for me. And I'm going to embrace and receive Christ as my Savior, depending on His death, His burial, His resurrection to take me to heaven. That's what makes you a child of God. That births you to God. That's what births you to God. Friend, if you've never come to Jesus Christ and been born again, I beg you, please, deal with that most important issue. You could leave this morning knowing for sure that you're a child of God, that you're on your way to heaven someday. You say, well, I'll take care of that when the time comes. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think they planned for an 8-year-old to get cancer? Death's not planned. Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection births us into God's family, saves us, makes us God's people. And in one of these days, God's people are going to have all tears wiped away from our eyes. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. It was written by Jim Hill. Jim Hill was a fairly new Christian. His mother-in-law was dying. He loved his mother-in-law dearly. He was driving home from work one day and he was kind of struggling with, why, God, is my mother-in-law dying? His heart was broken. And he said these words, the words I just sang to you, started coming to his mind. And he's looking in his car for something to write on, and he couldn't find anything. So he got home. First thing he saw when he got out of his car was a piece of cardboard. So he picked up a piece of cardboard, and he wrote the words I just sang. And then he wrote verse 2, there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain. No more parting over there. And the first person Jim Hill sang that song to was his dying mother-in-law. He stood by her bed and finished it off with, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. It made it possible for all my tears to be gone. And more than that, was touched. But I had tears. What a day, glorious day, that will be. This has been one of those weeks where I'm so thankful I'm a pastor. I don't enjoy seeing people weep, but I am thankful for the opportunity to kind of just be there. Say it'll be okay. And it will. More than just having a pastor to say that, you got a high priest who was touched by your infirmity. He was touched himself. Jesus wept. I'm glad. I'm glad that little two verse, that two word verse, is in the Bible. Jesus wept. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all the book, every part of it, and I'm thankful this morning for that little short verse there in John 11. Jesus wept. Dear Father, would you please reach down and help your people this morning? Bring a measure of comfort and help and grace through your word that only you can bring. Strengthen, touch, and bless hearts today. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Just for a moment, just to ask you a couple questions. And I fear emotional response, so I don't want an emotional response. But just somebody would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart through something that was said today. I needed that. Pray for me. Would you slip a hand, please? It's in the air. Let me pray for you tonight or this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else. Let me pray for you this morning. Somebody else. Wonderful. It might be somebody here with a broken heart this morning. It has nothing to do with, or not entirely to do with the death of a little girl, but other matters. And I just want to remind you that Jesus is touched. And you know what? Those of you that just raised a hand, what you need to do is go beyond verse 15 into verse 16, where it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. You run to Christ. You run to Him. And you unload your burden there, and you weep, and you tell Lord Jesus how you feel. And you got a promise that He's touched by your infirmity. Now, here's a more important question, or as important. Who would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I am God's child because I've come through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be saved. I know it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please, as a testimony? Just be honest about it. I'm saved and I know it. I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Appreciate your honesty. Wonder this morning, you couldn't raise your hand just then. You were honest about it. You don't know for sure that Jesus is your Savior, that you're headed to heaven when you die. You're not sure that heaven is your home for all eternity. You couldn't raise your hand just then. You'd say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand then. I just was honest. I could not do it. I'd like to pray for you. Just ask God to help you. You say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand then because I don't know. I don't know. Would you slip your hand up, please? I really don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? Across the audience, front to back, side to side, in the balcony. Member, visitor, boy, girl, adult, doesn't matter. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're sure that you're saved and you trusted Christ as your Savior, you want to be, or you should be baptized, you know that, then the altar is open for that this morning to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you're not saved, all you have to do is slip out to an aisle when the music begins here and just come tell one of these men, I'm not saved, or I don't know that I'm saved, or I need to be baptized, or whatever it is, or just come and pray. Use the altar this morning. Let me encourage you, if God spoke to your heart, if He was kind enough to come through and speak to you, then you respond to that by speaking back to Him. And just kneel for a minute or two and pour your heart out to the Lord at that throne of grace. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts today, but Lord, not just for the purpose of speaking to us, so that it helps us, it changes us, it encourages us, Lord. We put it to work. May you help us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name to obey you and do right. In Christ's name I pray.